morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's a delight to be connected with you again via this virtual connection. Lord has been so, so gracious. As we go in this 2023, we've got a new theme that we talked about a few Sundays ago, living epistles. And that means that we can be walking Bibles, an example to all of those that are around us. There is so much that's going on in our society, and we just got to continue to just trust the Lord and show the light that the Lord has put in us. Also, I just want to encourage you in your Bible reading programs that you are on. We've started a new one where we're going Genesis through Revelation, straight through. Man, it's been a blessing already as we've been making our way through Genesis together as a church family. So if you've been with us, hallelujah. If you haven't, I encourage you to jump on. If you just do that, scan that code, you can get right into it, get that that Bible downloaded, and start reading with us. Also, I just want to thank the Lord for what he's doing with adding to the body of Christ. If you are a first-time viewer, we thank you for being here. But also, if you've come back many times, thank you for being here. And if you're someone that the Lord just kind of guided in this direction, the ebcnc.com, and you're like, man, this is speaking to my heart, I encourage you, if you're not saved, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God is raising from this, as you will be saved. And there are some witnesses that God is more than enough. If you know that, can you put amen in the chat? And if you're sitting in your living rooms, wherever you are, just go hallelujah. Just lift up those hands to know God is more than enough. Just want to thank you for traveling along with us during the week. We've got Monday Manna, Tuesday Noonday Bible Study on our virtual connection, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. We're going through the book of Luke on our virtual connection. And then on Thursdays, we actually have an in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock in our sanctuary, where we're going through the Johns. We're actually in 2 John, transitioning to 3 John, and then we'll be picking up an epistle after that. And so we just thank the Lord how he is growing us all. Don't forget about all the things that go on Sunday. We've got our 8:45 in-person service, 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service. And the Lord has just been doing so, so many wonderful things. We just thank the Lord for all his mercies and kindness. Finally, I just want to thank you so much for your giving. When I think about how blessed Ebenezer has been, and also our community, I just thank the Lord for being our provider. That is one of his names, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We've learned to give from our hearts, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I just want to thank you, whether you're giving online via our app, download that app, please download that app, or you're in our in-person services, or you're sending it into our secure mailbox. We thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Well, I'm thinking about where we're going today, and I'm telling you, if you see my background, change is ahead. But I'm so glad to know that God can teach us. He can renew our mind when we're going through changes. Any amens? Hallelujah. Well, prepare your minds, prepare your hearts to receive the word. See you soon.
I'm going to be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12. And in my Bible, the title gives, Behave Like a Christian. I'm going to start with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You know upon my them that I'm gonna serve it till I die. Oh, the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I promise him that I'm gonna serve him. Hey, yeah. Oh, the battlefield for my Lord. Listen, I once was an island, I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven, said I got work to do. I'm gonna take my master's hand, oh, yeah. He'll lead you to the promised land. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Yeah, yeah, on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm gonna promise him that I'm gonna serve him till I die. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield for my Lord. Yeah, yeah, stay on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, oh, I'm gonna serve him. Yeah, yeah, on the battlefield for my Lord.
It's so good to know that we're on the battlefield for our Lord. I just thank him for what he's doing as we are going through these stressful times. He is truly renewing our mind. He is teaching us and we're growing in him. I want to go ahead and jump into that memory verse that we've been really focusing on. So I want you to pull it up, focus in Romans 12:2. Would you read it aloud with me as we get it into our mind and it's seeping down into our spirits? Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm telling you, as it is transferring into our hearts, we begin to live in that manner, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Before we go any further, I just want you to go on a word of prayer for me. Specifically today, when you're praying with me, ask God to speak to you. All of us have challenges. All of us have things that have come into our lives. There are things that are coming into our lives that we don't know. And so let's just ask God to prepare us today as we go through this word together. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for who you are, Lord. I am amazed at your immense grace and mercy that you've shown towards us. And Lord, as we go into this word today, speak to your people. I pray for those who are looking in that may not be saved, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift. Now, Lord, I ask you to move me out of the way, and Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We truly love you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been going through portions of the book of Acts, specifically looking at Paul the Apostle. We've seen him saved on the Damascus Road. We've seen his growth process. And today we're gonna see God move, how God has renewed his mind and see how it's impacting those that are around him. Well, let's jump into Acts 16 and 26 will be our focus scripture for today. Acts 16 and 26, it reads, "Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose." There's a lot within that scripture. Let's look at that again. Acts 16 and 26. "Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose." I want to speak from a title today, Embracing Change. Embracing Change. Saints, all of us have gone through. Change is in our society. As I look at our news and I see the interactions and the reactions of leaders, I look at our climate change. Saints, we have to come to the point of realizing in all of these changes that God wants us to be embracing these changes and understand that he's working through it all. That's good news. That somebody should put a shout out there that in everything that we're going through, God is working it out for our good. God uses change to renew our minds, as we've been teaching on that. Some of us, the only way we're going to get to where God wants us, we got to go through change. That is the nature of God changing us from the inside out. Winston Churchill said it like this: to improve is to change. To be perfect is to change often. I love this quote by Maya Angelou. She says, "If you can't change it, change your attitude." Any amens? If you put in the chat, say amen. Let's do a little points in review, because we've been working through this story. It is packed with so many things to speak to our hearts. From last time, are you ready? The devil knows whose you are. Faith in action, trouble, and faith under fire. The time frame is about 50 to 52 AD. And Paul the Apostle, really, he's on his second missionary journey. He's gone through Derbe and Lystra. He's accepted the Macedonia call. Even souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. He is being used of the Lord. But please understand, even in this wonderful Holy Spirit-filled life that he's going through, the enemy is still messing. Our transition scripture from last time is Acts 16, 22. "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them secretly. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." A girl is delivered from a demon. Lives have been changed, but now the owners of that girl that were profiting off of her because she had the demon, because she no longer has the demon, they get upset at Paul and Silas, and now they're beaten and thrown into jail, and we find them in the inner prison. What would you do if you were used of God in this manner? Let's jump into this section, Acts 16:25. "But at midnight,
Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Here's our first point. It's a quick one, but yes, quick and small, but B-U-T. Can you put that in the chat, please? Wherever you're sitting, just say, but. Anytime you see but within the scripture, you need to go back and see what was preceding it, because after that but, all of a sudden, things are going to change. Perspectives are changed. Lord put this on my heart. He says, as our minds are renewed, we begin to see situations differently. Can I read that again to you? As our minds are renewed, we begin to see situations differently. Any hallelujahs out there? I'm telling you, 10 years ago, I looked at situations that were detrimental to me. But now, if I've grown with the Lord, I can look at those same situations and go, okay, Lord, that's how you're going to work it out. There was some situations 20 years old that I didn't think I was going to, 20 years ago that I didn't think I was going to make it through. But now I'm on the other side. I was like, okay, Lord, if I would have just had a different perspective, I wouldn't have stressed out so much, because that's where our faith kicks in. This whole process of thinking about but Paul and Silas, this is amazing in our lives, because when our mindset is changed, when we are renewed, we could be angry, but now we choose joy. Any hallelujah? Can you put joy in the chat? We could feel lonely, but we remember that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We could give up, but we remember he may not show up when we want him, but he's always on time. Any hallelujahs? I'm telling you, God is good. We need to embrace the change. Morgan Campbell, he writes this. Listen to this. Any man can sing when the prison doors are open and he is set free. The Christian soul sings in prison. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, I encourage you right now just to sing a song. Sing a song. It doesn't matter if you are leading a choir. It doesn't matter if you can't even bring a chord or a key together. You just sing unto the Lord, because God is faithful to work it out. Acts 16:25. Again, look at that second part. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I love this. They're in prison, but they take everybody to church. Isn't that good news? They bring the church to prison. This is their prison ministry. They're thrown in right with all the prisoners. And they say, you know what? We're here and we're locked up. Our stocks around our ankles. And we're just going to sing some hymns and we're going to sing songs. And the other prison, this is a hardcore prison system that they're in. There are murderers there. There are thieves there. All kinds of stuff is going on. But they're listening to the church service. They're listening to Paul and Silas give praise unto the Lord. And they're focusing in. I'm telling you, there's something about that. But when you can focus in and get God's mindset instead of man's mindset, everything changes. It helps us to embrace change and to realize God is doing some things that we can't even see. I think that's a word from somebody, to know that God is doing something in your life right now that you can't even see. You just got to trust him. Embrace that change. Look at Acts 16:26. Suddenly, that changed everything. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Here's the point. When God shows up, hallelujah, I'm telling you that you can shout off of that. When God shows up, they're singing these songs unto God. They're in the prison, and all of a sudden the Lord shows up. Acts 16:26 again. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. I'm telling you, that is a church service. Oftentimes I come from a Pentecostal background, and you would think, they said when the Holy Ghost shows up and you got the music going and people are shouting, well, they're in prison. It's just Paul and Silas. And God says, I don't need any music. I don't need any background at this point. I'm just going to show up. Nobody's playing any chords at this point. God just shows up in his own way. And at this point, I can hear the quietness just comes in as God begins to shake that prison. God likes to shake things up. Any amens in there? Just put amen in the chat. If you ever been through some situation that God shook some stuff up, it can be good if we can trust them. I'm telling you, some of the best desserts have to be shaken up and mixed up real good. And that's what God does. He likes to use earthquakes. And I just want to give you a few examples. Man, I could go through so many, but some things just come to my mind. Remember Moses and the children of Israel when God is preparing them to embrace change, Exodus 19:16, it says, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp tremble. God shows up with this earthquake, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. I'm telling you, anytime you encounter God, that there's going to be some movement that's going on. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain, here it is, quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. I'm telling you, when God shows up, there is a shaking. He spoke to Moses and the Israelites, and they were trembling just like that mountain was trembling. But remember when God showed up for Elijah in 1 Kings 19:11 through that earthquake? Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by in a great strong and wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And that 12th verse, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Embracing change. As God shakes us up, allows us to go through these changes, he's encouraging us just to trust him and to focus in on that still small voice. But this is my favorite one of this earthquakes, at this change that's being brought into people's life. Remember Jesus at his death, and Matthew 27:51, it says, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Matthew 27:54. So when the centurion, those with him who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I'm talking about embracing change. God allows change to renew our minds. Look at that Acts 16:26 again at the end part. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Now, this is critical. I want you to get this picture here. God allows this earthquake to shake things up. And God is precise in this. The foundation of the prison is shaken, but the prison doesn't fall down. All that happens where the shackles are broken, they come loose and the doors are open. Somebody need to say, go God, could you put it in the chat, go God, because God is able to take shaky situations and produce miracles in those. There ought to be some amen. Said that's what God was doing in my life. It was shaky. I couldn't stand. I was going this way and that way, but God came in the nick of time, and what I could not see, God brought a miracle in, and now I'm steady. Now I realize if it had not been for that situation, I wouldn't be as close to God as I am now. There ought to be some shouts embracing change. Look at Acts 16:27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Here's a critical point. I want you to get this. A mind that has not been renewed Yes, a mind that has not been renewed. We spent weeks going through this whole process of renewing our mind, how God teaches us. But I just want to take a brief moment to look at when a mind has not been renewed, man, you can expect death. You can expect all kinds of calamity because now you're not going to have peace in that. Yeah, all of us go through, all of us have struggles, but to go through with God changes everything. Notice that Acts 16:27, it says, awaking that this prison keeper from sleep, seeing that the prison doors were open, supposing that his prisoners, those that he had charge over, had fled, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself. He was about to just take him out. See, they were responsible for the prisoners, and he knew these hardened criminals in here, if the doors were open, they were out of there. They were out. They were going to run. And so he just automatically assumes that everybody's gone. God put this on my heart, and this is going to bless somebody out there. Listen to me. It is not as bad as you may think. I want to say that again. It is not as bad as you may think. It may look bad, but it's not as bad as you think. I am telling you, you may feel bad right now, but it's not as bad as you think. I'm talking about those who have a renewal of mind. You just got to trust the Lord. When Jonah was eaten up by that great fish, he thought it was real bad, but it wasn't as bad as he thought it could be, simply because when God was finished, God put him in the right location to do the ministry that he was called to do. It's the same thing in our lives. It's not as bad as we think. The enemy has a way of coming in quickly at us against our mind and trying to manipulate us to give up before God shows up. Can I say that? He wants to manipulate our mind to give up before God shows up. What happens when people give up and God was almost there? We got to trust him as saints of God to know that God is faithful. No, notice some of the traits of the enemy in 2 Corinthians 4:3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The enemy's job is to blind people. Yes, he wants them to see a situation, but not be able to see out of that situation, not be able to walk in faith. We're talking about a mind that has not been renewed. I put forth that there are so many people that we thought were saved, but are not saved because their minds have not been renewed. They have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so consequently, they are walking around blind. Yes, they can see with their physical eyes, but spiritually they're blind. They can't focus in. Look at the examples that we've seen in news. Man kills his family in High Point. What drove him to this point to kill his family and kill himself? On the news, PhD student in criminology, he decides that he's going to kill some college students because of some issues of the past and really thought that he could get away with it. In the news, man drives his new Tesla off a cliff with his family in the car, thinking that he's going to kill them all and kill himself, but yet he survives. What are we, the blind, the enemy comes in, celebrated, a musician and also dancer, has a wonderful family, walks out of his house, enter into a hotel, and ends his life right there, blinded by the enemy. I'm telling you, it's not as bad as you think. God is faithful, and he wants to renew our mind that we can trust him, even though in this situation, this soldier thought it was over. God is going to show up and show out. But I want you to know there is hope. Can somebody scream out hope, hope, hope? God is faithful even in the darkest situations. You just got to trust him. I believe somebody, you just need to stop right now and just give him a shout. Say, I got hope. I got hope. I got hope. God is faithful. Look at Acts 16:28, embracing change. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. I love this. Here's the point. Amazing grace. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. This brings back to my mind a song, and I just want to go through the first four stanzas because I think it really sums up what's going on with Paul and Silas. And even those that are in the prison at this point, John Newton wrote this in 1779. He said, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. The Lord has promised good to me." Anybody know that? Can you just put "promise" in the chat? Wherever you say, "He promised me. He promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures." I tell you, God is good. Embracing chains. Look at that, Acts 16:28, that last part. He cried out and he said, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." I am amazed. I am amazed at the miracle power of God, that God can change an abnormal situation into a normal situation and take these situations and make them for his glory. They should have ran out of the prison, but they remember they had gone to church. They had heard the singing, and I believe hearts were convicted. And when that earthquake came in and the doors came open, the shackles fell off, they said, "We can't move because God has showed up." Please, God, I put this on my heart. When we embrace change, others will change. I tell you, this is important as we're renewing our mind. When we embrace change, others will change. These prisoners, they look at Paul and Silas, the changed ones that have been touched by the power of God, and all of a sudden their normal actions and reactions have been changed to stand still and know that God is God. There ought to be some folks in here, you've been running away from some stuff. I encourage you just to stand still wherever you find. You may be locked up in your situation emotionally. Just stand still and just see the salvation of God. What an awesome God we serve. I'm telling you, as we stop here today, we're going to come back next Sunday because there's another part I really want to take some time to focus in. But I want you to say today, "I'm going to embrace change." Can you put that in the chat? Embrace change today. I'm so glad that Paul and Silas lived this process of change. 2 Timothy 2:8 said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into the point of change, but the word of God is not changed." I am so glad it's not changed. "Therefore, I endured all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." See, they knew how to embrace change in their life. "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him." That's renewing our mind. We're able to see things in a different way. "If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." Yes, it's all about the cross of Calvary. It's all about the finished work that took place on Calvary's hill, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. There he bore our griefs and carried our pains. Even though we seem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but with his stripes we are healed. There ought to be some shouts and some amen and some emoticons that are clapping hand and say, "With his stripes we are healed." Embracing change. He dies on the cross of Calvary, but I'm so glad to let you know he gets up on the third day with all power and all glory, so that whatever we go in our lives, we can know that he's gotten up. He has all power. He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. I encourage you today, embrace your chains. God is doing something wonderful right now, even if it doesn't feel wonderful. He's renewing your mind, saints. He's encouraging you to step out in faith and to know that he is opening up some doors. He is fixing some things. But sometimes that path that God chooses to lead us down, it doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes it can feel so cold and so lonely. But please understand, God is there with you. Embrace the chains. Give it to the Lord. Say, God, I want to embrace this change. I do, even in your chains. I know it's that the word is very close, but even with the chains of life that try to get us down, God has said, I'm going to change your situation. So I encourage you today to rest in him. Get in God's word more and more and trust him. Just as Paul and Silas in a terrible situation said, we're going to embrace this change. We've seen him show up in the good times as well as the bad times. So we know he can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Whatever you're going through today, I encourage you to lift it up to the Lord. I encourage you, ask someone to pray for you, your situation. Two or three get together on one accord. God said, I'll be in your midst. And I'm telling you, even if you feel by yourself, just lift your hand and say, Lord, I connect with you right now in the name of Jesus that you can move on my behalf. If you don't know Christ, I'm telling you, I don't want you to live in the state of not having your mind renewed. Would you call out to him, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and says you will be saved. Why wait? As we look at the climate of our society, we can see there's so many stresses, but there is hope. Remember that. There is hope. It's all through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for what you're doing, even in the midst of change. Teach us, Lord, to embrace change. Teach us, God, to change our perspective of the situation and to know as long as you're with us, you're more than the whole world is against us. Lord, we thank you that even today we're going to be able to look at some things that seem hopeless. And we go, there's hope. There's hope in that because God has always been faithful. Lord, thank you for always being faithful. Lord, please order our steps that we may be used more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you don't know a friend who can save you from your sin, when you're down in sin and sadness and sorrow is all within, you can call him in secret prayer. He will hear you no matter where. And when you're burdened, call Jesus in secret prayer. Call Jesus in secret prayer. He will take you in his care. Call Jesus at any time. From anywhere you can call him when in distress. Call Jesus in your happiness. And when you're burdened, call Jesus in secret prayer. I was burdened, didn't have a friend. I called Jesus, he took me in. And so I prayed to God in heaven, be my guide and be my friend. Give me courage and give me grace, and let me see thy holy face. From day to day, I call Jesus in secret prayer. Call Jesus in secret prayer, and he will take you right in his care. Call on Jesus anytime. From anywhere, you can call him when in distress. Call on Jesus in your happiness. From your heart, call Jesus in secret prayer. Now, if you don't have a friend who can save you from all sin, when you're down in sin and sadness and sorrow is all within, you can call him in secret prayer. He will hear you no matter where. And when you're burdened, call Jesus in secret prayer. Call Jesus in secret prayer. He would take you right in his care. Call Jesus, just call Jesus, anytime, from anywhere. You can call him when in distress. I call Jesus in my happiness. From day to day, I call Jesus in secret prayer.